big British castle. Adam and Joe are coming live from the Camden Crawl. It's a kind of music festival in London town, with a lot of weirdos and unsavory types of grimy cripes. Black Squad!
Always catch the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want to miss a thing. That's not the way Black Squadron roll. Black Squadron! Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Gotta be sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the Squadron's power.
Black Squadron!
Good morning, Black Squadron. This is Adam Buxton speaking.
Hey, this is Joe Cornish, and we're joining you this morning live from Camden Town. Isn't that correct?
That is, in fact, correct. We are here as part of the Camden Crawl, which Six Music is organising. Here, it's very exciting. It's a two-day festival in London Town, and it's got bands. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs were playing last night. We introduced Madness, playing on the top deck of a bus. The Fall are playing tonight. All kinds of good things going on. We're not going to see any of the actual music because we're too old. And there's a alarm that goes off if you're too old into some of the venues. Only Steve Lamacq has the ability to bypass the alarm. But we're not allowed in, which is unfortunate. That's not true, of course. Camden Crawl is open and welcoming to everybody.
Welcoming. We're joined here, though, in our makeshift studio, which is in a sort of a... What is it? A sort of a shed stroke, barn stroke...
It's a bar, Joe.
A bar. I remember bars.
Yeah.
It's in a bar. We're in a bar in Camden, and we're joined by 20 elite listeners.
All members of Black Squadron, by default, because they are here. You know, just to remind you that if you're listening now, you are part of Black Squadron. Black Squadron are the people that listen to this program for the first half hour live as it goes out. The people that tune in from 9 o'clock until 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday, right? Listening again. You're not part of Black Squadron if you're listening again. Not downloading the podcast, but actually listening live. So we've got Squadron, 20 Squadron members here. We're very excited to have them. Clean-cut young men and women.
They're all staring at us at the moment. Every single pair of eyes, 40 pair of eyes staring at us.
What do you think of Squadron, Joe?
I think they're magnificent. They're a beautiful sight. They're so powerful, attractive, intelligent. They make a high-pitched ultrasonic squealing sound when you bait them.
Just to prove that we're live there, because we got the playback going in the market bar here where we are. But that was a little bit too much playback, and it caused the feedback. Here's a letter from Nick. A letter? An email, that's what it is. He says, and still there is a few people out there who are confused about whether they are or are not part of Black Squadron. He says that he's one of the people that... has to download the show. He catches it via iPlayer because he's not able to listen live on a Saturday morning. He's not part of Black Squadron. You are not part of Black Squadron. I was thinking that we should create a new squadron for the people that listen via iPlayer, right? Via iPlayer.
Well, hang on. We've discussed various squadrons in the past.
Right.
We've discussed Black Squadron. There's been mention of Phantom Squadron. There's also been mention of Slack Squadron. Hasn't there? Now, my understanding is Black Squadron listen live in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
Phantom Squadron listen live via Listen Again. Slack Squadron listen live via the podcast. And I've thought of a new squadron who are called Globes Squadron, who listen live in a foreign time zone.
And have large breasts.
Possibly, but that would then rule out men.
Not my kind of man.
Okay, then, fair enough. So those are the squadrons, right?
Yeah, Slack Squad. Are they not going to be upset by that? I was thinking DigiForce for the people that listen via the iPlayer.
Well, I guess there could be subsets and different names.
Yeah, because Black Squadron covertly operate as the 9 o'clock club.
That's true.
You know, just to fool certain people into thinking they're like a little kiddie club.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, they're an elite listening force. We had a member of Black Squadron doing some amazing work, because Joe's been issuing commands for Black Squadron in previous shows. And this from Nick is one of those. He says, in response to a call to action, we have initiated a search and destroy tactic on all the offending media. He's talking about the photographs of us, me and Joe, that were in the Guardian magazine a few weeks back. And Joe was particularly upset by the unflattering nature of the photograph.
I commanded the squadron to destroy the Guardian. And Nick's daughter, what's her name?
Kia.
She sent in, or they both sent in, some fantastic photos of Kia putting the Guardian Weekend magazine in a blender.
Not the whole magazine, because it's a fab magazine, yeah? You wouldn't want to destroy the whole mag.
Quite right.
All they did was destroy the actual pictures of us.
Yeah,
looking
we're going
greasy and spotty and old.
We're going to put those pictures the pictures being blending up on the blog, the website.
So thanks very much, Nick, and thank you to Kia. We're going to maybe get some commands, some suggestions for commands for Black Squadron after this next track, but this is dedicated to Kia. Thank you very much. It's The Flaming Lips with Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, or whatever the heck it's called. Here it is. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Oof.
What a frightful stench.
What an absolute stench. That was The Flaming Lips with Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots. This is Adam and Joe here coming live from the Camden Crawl. We're in a room. It's got people in it, young people, good-looking young men and women. You know, if there was a cataclysm outside this room, Joe...
This would be a good start point to repopulate the planet.
Absolutely.
It's
we
true.
Could make a very good-looking race of people.
Some of the best DNA in the country is right here.
Yeah. I'm not even going to think about that prospect any longer.
You brought it up.
I know I did. I'm sorry about that. I took it into a dirty area. So listen, you are all members of Black Squadron, not only here in the Market Bar in Camden, but also listening at home. And we have some commands for you who are... they've been selected by our elite Black Squadron
the
members
commands.
Here.
The commands aren't people.
Are they not?
Yeah, you referred to them. You said, who are?
Right, that's true.
Yeah,
I did,
thought
didn't
I? Pick you up on that. But
yeah,
they're good commands.
Enough.
They've been thought up by the Elite Black Squadron conference that's happening here. And there's three there for you to choose from, Adam. What do you reckon?
First command, shall I say them? Or
I think you should just choose one and read out the one that you pick.
Well, there's an obvious one staring at me.
Do it.
Take off all your clothes.
That's the Black Squadron command this morning.
What about the squadron members who are here with us, though?
They are exempt, I think.
They?
It's too early in the show.
Can they take off some of their clothes?
If they want to. They're exempt, you know. This is like the G20 conference. They don't have to abide by the same rules as the populace.
Otherwise, this is the kind of thing that Russell Brand used to do, isn't it?
I know, and we can't get into that area. We'll only become amazingly successful, and that will be awful.
So there you go. That was suggested by Laura, squadron member here in Camden. Take off all your clothes, Black Squadron. Let us know how it goes for you. Don't break any laws.
Well, yeah, what happens if there's a family listening, for instance? Or, you know, it's a difficult command.
It is a tough one, isn't it? Maybe I should have gone for a less controversial one.
Well, no, I think it's really going to sort...
But it shouldn't be controversial to take off all your clothes.
Why not?
It's a natural state, right?
Right.
Even though it's illegal. Like
it's really going to sort the wheat out from the chaff, though, isn't it? This
exactly.
week's Black Squadron command.
Send us some pictures. We'd love to see how it goes. But that's your command, Black Squadron. Right now it's time to play some more fantastic music. And this is CSS with Let's Make Love and Listen to Death from Above. That was CSS with Let's Make Love and Listen to Death from Above. This is Adam and Joe here at the Camden Crawl. We're coming live. There we go. Is that better? Suddenly it just popped into my headphones. I don't know if you could hear me speaking at home there, listeners, but I couldn't hear anything in my headphones and I was a little perturbed for a second, but it's all fine. It's all fine. Calm down.
Do you answer me this, right,
yeah.
Adam Buxton and listeners at home? Do you care that the right side of your headphones is on your right ear?
Yeah, definitely.
Before you put them on, you check for the little R and L?
Always check.
Yeah, I do as well. Do you think it matters?
Very much so.
What happens if you listen for a sustained period with them the wrong way round?
Well, the two hemispheres of your brain become inverted. And
right, you get synaptic disconnections.
Shutdown, synaptic
yeah.
shutdown.
Global, lobal, yeah.
Conflict.
Conflict, global conflict.
Global conflict, yeah.
Global ballistic conflict.
It's very dangerous. And the thing that annoys me is, you know, there's usually... On these big chunky headphones that we're wearing, right?
Mm.
The cord comes out of one side.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out of both of them.
No.
As it does on smaller ones, right?
Right.
It's fun.
It's a good conversation.
Good chat, isn't it? But like sometimes it comes out of the left side. I think it should always come out of one side. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you think
there should be a international standard
exactly.
for headphone cables.
And
you're
all
right.
Headphones should have a very large white L or an R.
I didn't realise I was going to spark such a rant.
It's something I care very deeply about.
Clearly. But listen, we are coming live from Camden. Of course, listeners, if you can hear a peculiar acoustic, it's the sound of a beautiful but slightly stinky bar here in Camden filled... with 20 elite Black Squadron listeners.
It's like a kind of barn. It's a bit like in Witness when the Amish people erect a barn. Do you remember?
Yes.
Well, in this case, it was just a load of drunk people in Camden
right.
erected a beautiful barn.
Well, they've done very well.
And we're sat in it.
But a few moments ago, we issued a command to Black Squadron, which was take off all your clothes. And we've been thinking about this and thinking it might be a difficult command for some squadron members to execute.
Well, there's a lot of families listening, aren't there?
Now, and luckily, we didn't think of the command.
No.
We asked our elite squadron members to think of some suggestions, and that one was generated by Laura, who I believe we have a roving mic pointed at. Hello, Laura.
Hi.
How are you doing? So listen, you issued this command,
yeah,
and we're abdicating responsibility and in a cowardly way throwing the spotlight of public hubris. Yeah? Is there a spotlight of public hubris?
There is now.
Yeah. Well, it's shining on you. What should people do, for instance, if they're in a family scenario or maybe on public transport at the moment?
Just go with it, I think.
Really?
I mean, like you said earlier, there should be no problem with just taking your clothes off.
Right. Yeah. It's illegal.
Yeah. Would you is illegal
is
in problem?
Public? It's That's a problem, isn't it?
It's indecency in public from a legal perspective.
But you can find objects that you can place in front of parts.
Ah, like Austin Powers. Yeah, right. Style. Yeah. Good thinking, right.
That is good thinking.
Mm.
So family members just need to get creative with the command.
The thing is, Laura, that only works from a single point of view, doesn't it?
Yeah, well...
So if you move round...
Well, what if you're being looked at, you know, the person to your right might not be able to see your bits and bobs because of a coffee cup, but the person to your left could have a clear view of the bobs and bits. Or bobs bits.
Are you more worried about the bobs or the bits?
I don't know, it's the combination.
Well, I would say try to shadowy areas.
Yes.
I would say try two shadowy areas. That's the perfect answer. Say no more.
Yeah, but it kind of counteracts the point of taking your clothes off, doesn't it? Take your clothes off, then hide in shadowy areas. What kind of command is that?
It's the shadowy areas you're trying to hide in the first place.
Listen, Laura, thank you very much, though. We leave it up to families to interpret the command in a decent way themselves. We don't want to cause
any
risks.
How about this? Families should put extra clothes on.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's great. That solves all the problems.
All problems solved.
Now, I've got my free play right now to take us into the news. This is a track that I stuck on a compilation for a car journey this week. It went down very well.
Did it?
Very well.
With the wife and kiddles?
Yeah. Neil Diamond with a very moving and wonderful song about a man called Mr. Bojangles.
Oh.
No, wait. I said the wrong one, didn't I, Ben? Or can you
God.
Flick to the... Okay. Right, we're going into this one. After that introduction as well. Luckily, this
is it track, not Mr. Bojangles?
It's not Mr. Bojangles, no. Luckily, this track's got a one-minute-long preamble before it actually gets into the body of the song.
That's lucky.
So I can fill by telling you that this is a track by Howard Devoto, lead singer of Magazine, from his solo album Jerky Versions of the Dream, one of my favourite solo albums. And this is a track that my mum enjoys very much, you know? She's a big fan of Magazine, obviously, and she likes this one, which is called Rainy Season.
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath and maybe a nice little bun.
Just signing out Black Squadron there. You can relax, Black Squadron.
Yeah, you can put your clothes on or take the surplus clothes off now.
All right. And just to remind you, this is Adam and Joe here at the Camden Crawl. And we're in the Market Bar in Camden Town having a good time. We're joined by around about 20 of our listeners, 20 Black Squadron members.
We should try and get them to make some kind of collective sound so listeners at home can envisage them. So I wonder what they would reply with if I said, Stephen! There you go, you see.
Yeah, come on. That's good. We're going to be talking about Stephen a bit later on because there's a certain amount of...
antipathy.
Controversy. Whatever you want to call it, about Stephen, and we'd very much like to canvass the mood here in the Camden Crawl bar area. We'll do that later on. But right now, I want to talk about something that, catch up on something we were talking about last week. Someone sent us an email. It was Tom in Clapham, and also Patrick Boyle, I think. He says, in response to the lock the task bar thing that we were talking about, we were talking about things last week that make your life more entertaining that you do on your own. And someone was saying that when they see the command lock the taskbar on their computer, they sing to the tune of the Clash song Rock the Casbah. Lock the taskbar, lock the taskbar. So Tom and Clapham and Patrick say that we often sing crossing the road to the tune of the Judas Priest song Breaking the Law whenever they're crossing the road. Crossing the road, crossing the road. Nah, nah, crossing the road, crossing the road.
Wow. So we... Oh, that was genuine awe.
Yeah.
That's what I say when I'm genuinely awed.
And they also sing, when they're cooking with meat, like chicken, for example, or bacon, they sing, chicken for me, save all your chicken for me. Bye-bye, bacon, bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah?
Are they locked away in any sense?
That's good, though, isn't it?
I mean, that is good. So are we maybe looking for other contemporary songs or pop songs that could be applied to everyday tasks?
Well,
no,
not so much.
I'm curious about
other songs that people do sing, like as a matter of course. Do you not do that at all?
I'd have to have a think. I'm not sure that I do. I'd have to have a proper old
chicken
think.
Chicken for me, save all your chicken.
No, I'm definitely not going to sing that one.
Bye bye, bacon, bye bye, just before you pop it in your tummy.
It's a good song.
I did a little jingle about, do you remember I was talking about my fish fingers last week? When I run out of fish fingers, I sing a little song to myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Don't say
my
it.
My stomach's making Is peculiar it? Noises, yeah, but keep talking.
Okay, well, I've done a little jingle to celebrate the fact.
Oh, good one.
Here it is.
Oh no, we've got no fish fingers. No fish fingers in the fridge or the freezer drawer. Damn it! I was sure that we had loads of golden fingers. But it appears that I was wrong and there ain't no more. Fish fingers!
So what, that you would sing that out loud without the musical accompaniment around the house?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah. That's good, though.
But only if there's no fish fingers. I don't just randomly sing it. I'm not insane.
It's sort of like living with Jack Nicholson out of The Shining, but a musical version.
Well, yeah, it's like living with Jack Nicholson out of The Shining if he's found out he's got no fish fingers, which would legitimately cause him to go on a killing rampage.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, we're going to play some music for you right now. We got Polly Scattergood coming up. This track, she's from Colchester in Essex, and she attended the Brit School. Yeah, she's
the Brits is where all the stars come from now.
A lot of them do. The Noisettes, don't they? I think one of them or two of them.
All of them do.
All of them. Her track is called Please Don't Touch, presumably a follow-up to Tidy Up Your Room and Stay Off the Grass. Just made that. That's not
true.
Done. Thanks very much. Here's Polly Scattergood. Very good. That was Polly Scattergood there with Please Don't Touch. This is Adam and Joe here. We're coming live from the Camden Crawl. And yesterday, we made a little trip into Camden just to check out the vibes, yeah?
Yeah, Camden is an area of London that's famous for gigs and getting drunk.
Very good.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got some facts about Camden here for you, yeah.
There's a lock there. This is for people who maybe have never been to Camden or don't know what it is.
What kind of lock? Sean lock?
No, it's just a...
Sean lock.
It's just a normal kind of a lock.
Oh, sorry.
Since the dawn of time, witches and warlocks have sold trinkets to teenagers.
That's
at Camden.
True.
And you can find all sorts of famous people in Camden.
Well, you know, that's how Camden got its name.
Is it?
Originally, in Dickensian times, there was a fellow who was known as Camp Den, and he had, like, a shop where he sold Dickensian T-shirts.
Did he?
Yeah, some of the ones, the most popular ones, were the slogans included, you're taking the peeps.
Nice.
And fogging hell, it's another pea super.
Right.
That was a big seller back in Camp Den.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you enjoying these?
Yes.
I've got more.
Oh, God.
There was a very controversial T-shirt they used to sell. It had ripped sleeves, and the slogan was, that's the last time I lend Jack my T-shirt.
The Jack the Ripper? Yep,
yeah.
Got that one.
Because
I'm on that one.
Because it was in bad taste, right?
Yes.
And that's what...
Provocative T-shirts.
It was very provocative.
The kids love that.
And they shut Camp Den down.
Did they?
For a while. And it was the other reason he was known as Camp Den was because he always had a fruity response when people came into the shop, you know?
Yeah.
Come into the shop.
That's very fruity.
You're welcome in.
No wonder he was called Camp Den.
Exactly, because he always said things that had a slight double entendre. Have a look at all the stuff.
Oh, that's filthy.
Filthy, absolutely filthy stuff. And that's why Camden is known as Camden, thanks to Camp Den.
Well, thanks to Adam Buxton for that historical info.
But
are we going to play the listeners the little thing we recorded yesterday?
We're going to play another track and then we're going to play it. But we should set the scene for them. We went wandering around and we felt that we were not correctly dressed, really.
Yeah.
You looked like Brian Ferry yesterday.
I made some bad clothing choices and we had to rectify that at the last minute.
You looked like such a smoothie. I mean, you looked handsome. Yeah. My mum would have been very attracted to you.
I knew as I left the house that I'd chosen the wrong clothes for a Friday in Camden. I had a sort of quite nicely pressed shirt.
Yeah.
And then some quite clean jeans. And then some sunglasses.
Some very tasteful Ray-Bans.
Yeah, and I just looked like some kind of awful yuppie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think you look like a nice yuppie.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're going to play you the fruits of our foray into Camden after this next track, which is The Police. And this, I used to get very embarrassed when this track came on the radio.
Because it's about prostitution.
Exactly. And, yeah. And when it would come on and my family was there, I would try and talk loudly over it because I wouldn't want them to think that I was listening to a track about prostitution.
God forbid. And now look at you.
Now look at me.
What does that mean? You can't stop using prostitutes. Funny how the world turns. You hear the Police. So, listeners, here we are at Camden, in the midst of the Camden crawl. But as we might have already mentioned, I've really misjudged my sartorial choices for today. I'd look like a kind of a banker who's having a day off.
I look quintessentially touristy because I've arrived on my bike, so I've got my shorts on. First day of shorts weather.
Yeah, we both feel sort of conspicuously misdressed, so we're going to try and fix it by buying some uniform, right? Some trendy uniform.
Exactly. We've come to the epicentre of trendiosity in Camden, which is the shop Ganji. It's halfway between Gandhi and Ganja. It's maybe the place
that... Perfect place to be.
Exactly.
The thing about this shop is it's for girls, but that kind of gender, you know... Gender bias doesn't really wash at Camden. You know, girls can dress like boys can dress like girls.
Yeah.
Who gives a toss? So we're going to focus on sunglasses, because I've got some Ray-Bans on, and they look very 80s, don't they? Very Tom Cruise.
Well,
that
you
should
know,
be trendy, shouldn't
to
it?
To me, you look really nice, but...
What they need is coloured rims, right?
Right.
That's the fashion. Candy colours on your sunglasses rims. The other thing to do is have slats, as if you've got Venetian blinds over your eyes.
Like Kanye West modelled these very...
Yeah. Once you've got your sunglasses, and there's a magnificent range of different colours and frames and shades, you've got to have your scarf, haven't you? They're very trendy.
What do you do with a scarf? Do you wear them around your neck?
Well, have a look around you, Adam. Here in Camden, you'll see a lot of people sporting scarves.
That's true.
These people have them on their heads as if they're sort of Arab gentlemen.
A couple of individuals there.
Kids like just to toss the scarf around the neck in a Devil May Care fashion.
Yeah.
It's got no practical purpose.
What about this? Could you pop a scarf, say with some skulls, a skull motif, could you pop it in your flies and just have it hanging out of your flies?
Sorry to interrupt you. This gentleman's looking for sunglasses. Hello, sir. Do you mind if we say hello to you?
Yeah, no worries.
You're looking for a pair of sunglasses here. I can't help but notice.
If you wore these, single lens framed with sort of metallic plastic. You could look like a robot man from
Cyclops.
Daft Punk, yeah.
Like a Cyclops thing.
How would that change your life if people mistook you for a Cyclops?
How's he supposed to respond to that? What kind of question is that?
I think was a good enough answer.
You're almost talking to me. I'd be interested to find out. I might just buy a pair now.
Hey, listen, what's your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, nice to meet you. I'm Adam. This is Joe.
Hello.
How you doing?
I love your show.
Thank you. Hey, listen, Paul, as a present, right, I'm proposing to buy you any pair of sunglasses that you like. Right? But you have to pick one.
Okay, right. It's gotta be something totally ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. But you've got to walk away from us wearing them. All right, that's the deal.
And then you've got to contact the show and tell us what kind of lady response you've had, how your life's changed, whether you've got promoted, or will you do that?
Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go for the camp blue Cyclops glasses.
It's a single lens
going right across the eyes.
Yeah.
Curling around the head.
Oh, it does have a little line on it. Oh, see, you don't see that from the outside.
Look, how much are it's they? Got a little... That's the question I'm concerned with.
I think it's bartering. Devious little trick, that. Look, how do I look?
You look insane.
Sensational. That is sensational.
All right, I'm going to buy you those glasses. Paul, nice to meet you.
You too, sir.
Take care.
Nice to meet you, Paul. Thanks for talking to us.
There goes Paul. He's walking away from us wearing his robot shades.
Bye-bye, Paul. He's blowing us a kiss. Cheers, he looks Paul. Like a very, very, very stupid man now that he's got those glasses on. Oh, crikey, there we go. That was Madness playing last night on the top of a bus here in Camden. And this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music coming to you live from the Camden Crawl.
And we actually introduced Madness yesterday as well.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Six Music, a week ago or so, said, are you up for introducing Madness? And we said, yeah, sure, up for anything. But then when the time came, one always gets a little bit nervous, and then the crowd builds up, and then Madness, Suggs didn't turn up for quite a while, and so the crowd was waiting for about 45 minutes in a little pen and getting a bit boisterous.
Tiny bit belligerent.
And Joe and I had agreed vaguely what to say, but when we got up there, Joe, you abandoned the plan.
I did. I'd like to apologise for that. When I get in front of a crowd of people, I suddenly have a kind of... A power surge.
Right. Is it like a Hitler power surge?
Yeah, I want to talk about politics right. and foment some sort of revolt. I find it hard to repress
to
those instincts. Yeah, yeah. And I do apologise.
That's all right.
For that. I was thinking last night I should apologise to you for that. So now I've done it.
Talk through the plan. Then we get up there. It's like, and I go, hi, I'm Adam. To which your response should be, and I'm Joe.
Yeah,
Joe just goes
off
on one.
Yeah. It was good though, wasn't it?
It was good, yeah.
It was good.
And then you got rattled because you thought the crowd were getting bumptious because I mentioned that we were South London boys.
Well, they were chanting off, 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 off.
No, they weren't chanting off.
That's what I heard.
That's the voice in your brain.
They were so, maybe, yeah, that is the voice in my brain. But they seemed very keen to hear Madness, and they wanted anyone who wasn't Madness to get off, 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 off.
Maybe you. But they wanted more Buckley's.
Did they?
Yeah.
The other side of the crowd were chanting, more Buxton, more Buxton,
more Buxton.
More.
Half hour set from Buxton.
That's what they wanted. When all you'd said was, hello, I'm Adam.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think we should launch Text the Nation after this next record, don't you?
Yes.
Let's do that. But now we've got a free play, and this is one of yours, I think, Joe.
Yeah, this is the band Godly and Cream. Do you remember Godly and Cream?
Yeah, of course. Lol Cream and Lol Godly.
Kevin Godly.
Kevin Godly.
And Lol Cream.
Yeah.
This is a track that popped into my head like an old friend who I'd forgotten about.
Is this Under Your Thumb you're going to
play?
Yeah. I used to love this one.
This is a proper story record, right?
It had a great noir-esque video with a lady on a train.
It did. It tells a confusing and not very good story all the way through, full of details and a little setup and payoff and characters and everything. But the instrumentation is really haunting and the tune's really good.
It bubbles away, doesn't it, in a very pleasing electronic style.
Yeah, this is Godly and Cream with Under Your Thumb.
Come on, Godly and Cream. Oh, here it comes.
It's Godly and Cream with Under Your Thumb. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music coming to you live from the Camden Crawl.
It's a great pleasure to be here, and we're joined by 20 members of Black Squadron. How are you doing, Black Squadron?
Look at that.
They're quite ill.
They're on the verge of death.
They've eaten something bad and they're getting very tired and depressed. We're going to be talking to our Black Squadron members a bit later on about the whole Stephen phenomenon.
Yeah, we're going to make a decision today, an official decision whether to kill it, change it, or keep it going.
Yeah, okay.
And as the elite Black Squadron force, you guys are going to be instrumental in that decision.
It is, as Joe pointed out earlier, very much like the G8 summit.
Yeah.
But just a Stevenage summit.
Yeah, you instead. Will get beaten up. After you leave by the police, so be ready for that.
That's just a little satire there, of course.
Political satire.
That's not actually the case. Now, we're going to launch Text the Nation, I think. So, should we have the jingle for the nation's favourite feature?
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, earlier in the week, Joe,
I
was constructing a picnic table, right?
Right.
You know those benches, picnic benches you get in public parks and stuff, right? And there's you can sit opposite each
other.
The
benches are attached to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're a sort of single wooden thing.
For as long as I can remember, it's been my dream to own one of those.
Wow.
And that dream came true this week, you know, when I went out and purchased one, very reasonably priced, you know, it makes sense in these difficult times, just to have a picnic bench in your house. So that's what I did. I went out and got one. I was putting it together, right? And I don't know if I was following the instructions poorly or what, but I was finding it very difficult to make the large wooden bits fit together properly. And at one point, I was manhandling this very heavy crossbeam thing, and it swung across onto my thumb, and it sort of sliced horizontally across the top of my thumb.
Oh, my God.
And it basically... Here, look. Can you see that? It basically lifted the skin... Just over my nail.
Bring it closer.
Right off. The first, like a
there's
centimeter.
There's a sort of horrible, pustulant, bloody thing there on the
Black
bottom
Squadron.
Of Adam's thumb.
Yeah. And it was absolutely agonizing.
Mm.
Right? So I stood up and I did some effing and blinding. And then I nearly passed out.
Really?
Yeah.
With shock at your own language?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe with shock and disgust at my own lax morals and swearing. But no, I was literally pausing. I had to go inside, get a glass of water and sit down because I was just about to faint because I whacked my thumb so hard. And then I got up and I thought, I'm okay. I nearly fainted again. And I'd just been watching... Do you remember I was talking about watching the Ridley Scott film, Body of Lies?
Yeah.
Which I actually enjoyed, and it's all about torture and stuff in the Middle East. It was quite grim, and there's one particularly grim scene with Leonardo DiCaprio being tortured, right, in a cave, and they're whacking his fingers with a hammer. It's really a hard scene to watch. And I remember when I was watching it, I was thinking, I could take that. I could probably take that.
You were wrong.
And I was absolutely wrong. I can't even take a little tap from a... garden table.
So this is all leading up to our theme for Text the Nation this week, right?
Yeah, which is minor injuries.
Yeah, we've done this before in the past, right? Years and years ago.
Not
on the
BBC,
though. We'd like to do it again because it's really good.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with it last time, but it's the most painful things you can do to yourself accidentally that aren't serious.
Exactly.
So you're not hospitalised, there's no permanent damage. And we're not talking about, because some kids do this sort of thing for fun these days, right?
What sort of thing are you talking
about? Well, Johnny Knoxville type stuff.
Oh, I see.
They staple things to their foreheads.
No.
Instead of going to the theatre these days.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, that is what they do.
They run around in nettles.
We're not talking about voluntary things.
No.
We're talking about things that you do accidentally.
Yeah, paper cuts, that kind of thing.
Stubbed toes, the little toe being stubbed.
Man, I stubbed my toe viciously earlier in the week. It was terrible. I've had a very injurious week.
Really?
I mean, my thumb is still giving me a lot of jip, and I've got a little paper cut down here, which is very painful.
So we'd like to hear your text on that subject. The text number is 64046, or you can email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. We want you to make us smart.
Yeah.
Right? We want stories of really, really painful accidents, but things that aren't serious.
We want to hear the whole of Black Squadron here at the Camden Crawl going, "Ow!" Can we just practice that quickly, Black Squadron? So just pretend that you've heard... I'll show you my thumb again, and when I show it to you, make a noise that expresses your sympathy. There you go. That's very good.
It's a panto style.
Well, this is kind of a pantomime that we're involved with.
Early morning panto.
Exactly. Now, let's have some more music. We've missed the top of hour. We just sailed past the top of hour. So we're not even going to have the jingle, I don't think. Right, Ben?
Have it later.
We'll have a top of hour at 11 o'clock. But here's the White Stripes right now with Seven Nation Army. Very good. Congratulations. That was the White Stripes with Seven Nation Army. This is Adam and Joe here. I didn't even bother to put myself right there. I just plowed
That's
on.
That's okay. It's the Camden Crawl. That kind of behaviour is allowed.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be hungover, just crawled out of some kind of drain, dressed fashionably. That's how people live their life here in Camden.
Like Jules Holland.
Exactly like Joel.
He's not like that.
He's not like that at all.
Just joking.
So we were talking earlier. Were you about to say something?
Nope.
No, we were talking about earlier about, how can I put this, pop songs that you customise so that you can sing them when you're doing something quite boring and they fit.
Crossing the road, crossing the road, nah, nah, crossing the road, crossing the road.
Is that a pop song?
Yeah, it is.
What is it?
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Okay, thank you. So we've had one or two texts. Here's one from Ollie and Bex in Haringey. We often sing the tune of Madonna's Borderline when getting on the Northern Line. Northern Line, you keep on pushing me onto the Northern Line. Yes,
yeah. I'm just not that familiar with that track. You know, I always remember Steve Mason from the Beta Band saying that was his favourite Madonna track.
Really?
It's a little Steve Mason fact.
That's a good fact.
Thanks.
Here's one from Paul Sissons, who's probably Peter Sissons' brother.
Almost certainly.
So that's exciting.
Or his dad.
Who knows? Hi, Adam and Joe. I sing to myself when visiting a famous chicken takeaway establishment.
Yeah, this is his dad.
Take these chicken wings and learn to fry again. That's Broken Wings by Mr. Mister.
Yeah.
Nick from Ealing says, Adam and Joe, what is going on down there?
It's a bar.
A lot of noise in here.
What do you expect? Joe's very miffed because everybody's not standing
there.
I'm going
to go and tick some people off. They should be just standing, exactly, as if they're meeting the Queen.
Not moving.
For 3 hours, not moving or speaking. Nick from Ealing says, Adam and Joe, we think it's fun to sing I Feel Like London Tonight, London Tonight, London Tonight, to the tune of I Feel Like Chicken Tonight when the local current affairs programme comes on.
That is desperate.
Do you think?
Yes.
You're calling your listeners desperate.
Well,
Nick from Ealing.
In a very appealing way, obviously.
That's true, a loving way.
But so the show London Tonight comes on and they get so excited they start singing that.
Oh, I imagine it's a little bit ironic.
Woohoo!
London Tonight time. I feel like London Tonight, London Tonight.
It's a good programme. It's got all the latest news from around London. It's got a quite attractive woman and a really creepy old man.
What's the name of that guy?
I don't know, but listeners who don't live in London, that won't mean much to you. But I'm sure you have similar local news programmes with creepy old men and attractive women. That's the that's the win-win news combination, isn't it?
In Norfolk, they're all creepy.
Yeah, okay, so that's that. So keep sending those ideas in. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Let's
Goodbye.
Play some more music now.
What is going on? Joe's, I think Amy Winehouse
really
has arrived
upset.
In the pub. She's just walking into walls,
Joe,
and tripping
over boxes.
This is
what happens when you go into the outside world and do a show
from
there.
I hate the outside world.
Yeah, you don't like it, do you? You're frightened of it. You like Phoenix, right?
Yes, I do.
Here is a track from them. This is a new one, brand spanking new, from the new Phoenix album, which is called Wolfgang Amadeus, and this track is called Listomania.
That's Phoenix from their forthcoming album, Wolfgang Amadeus, and that is called Listomania, which is also a Ken Russell film, right? About the composer Franz Liszt.
Is it a good film?
I haven't seen it for years. It's one of his crazy, crazy ones.
Right.
I can't put...
Which are the non-crazy Ken Russell films?
There aren't any.
No.
Yeah, they're all pretty crazy.
Now, I was... this is on a non-related topic, but every... week after I do this show, I cycle to the station to get on the train and go back home. And I pop into like a little caff to get... What are you smiling at like
Nothing,
for?
Just... I'm happy. I'm just smiling.
You're smiling in a kind of smug way.
Well, that's just me, isn't it?
Like you're just arming your torpedoes.
Yeah. Tracking, targeting.
So what I do is I go into this shop, and it's like, you know, one of the chain shops. What do you want to call them?
One of the shops that sells chains.
Exactly. It's a chain shop. And so I go in there, and I get the same thing every week. You know, I get myself a little sandwich and a fruit pot thing. And the guy has come to recognize me, the guy behind the counter. Like, not recognize me as Adam Buxton, who does this show. He's got no idea who I am, but he recognizes my face.
Right.
And so after a few weeks, I noticed that he started to sort of, like, he would look up and realize that he was about to serve me next.
Mm.
And his face would light up with happiness to see me like an old friend. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he recognized me. So it was just, it was like, hey, it's you kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so after a while, apart from just telling me how much my food came to money-wise, he would start chatting to me and saying, how are you? And, you come on your bike, have you? Because he'd see my helmet and stuff. And I'd say, yeah. He goes, it's the best way to get around town, you know? I was like, yeah, it is, yeah. He said, we ride a lot of bikes where I come from. I was like, all right, where's that? He's like, India, I come from India. Oh, okay, thanks very much, there's the money, and, you know. And so I always keep it fairly brief because I don't want to get into too much of a chat. But now I'm worried that I'm upsetting him. Because last week I went in, right?
Mm.
And he gave me a big... beaming smile, but I was quite busy. I was late for my train, so I didn't really give him like a proper smile back. Also, I didn't want to lead him on
because you don't want to get locked into a conversation about India.
Well, no, just I just don't want a relationship. I don't feel ready for a relationship with him.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not your type.
No, he's not my type, and I don't know where it could lead.
Well, why don't you tell him that? Because I mean, it's best to be honest about this kind of thing in relationships. You should say, look, I appreciate your chatting to me, but you're not my type. Yeah. I don't think your stories are going to interest me.
No, but seriously, though.
So let's just get on with the business of trading.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
I think that would offend and upset him. Maybe he's just trying to be pleasant and trying to have a sunny disposition, right? And I feel worried that I'm just throwing it back in his face by not responding. But then I'm worried, what if he does want it to go somewhere special?
I tell you what you should do. What? Next time you go to the shop, pause outside the window where he can see you and have a sort of a fit. Have a sort of a shouting fit.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get ants off you.
Right.
Get off, ants, get off moth me.
Sounds like Jules again.
Spiders in my eyes.
That kind of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yes. And then start laughing like that.
Yeah.
But then when you enter the shop, just drop that completely and behave completely normally.
Right.
And then he won't want to talk to you. That's the solution.
What if he finds that kind of behavior?
See, I didn't torpedo that one.
Extra attractive. No, you didn't. You were very supportive.
I delivered a solution torpedo.
Thank you very
a
much.
A solution tipped torpedo. Well, wind it up. We're being told to wind it up.
I'll tell you how it goes next week with him. Now, what are we going to play next? Oh, yes, this is my free play. Now, I introduced this earlier. This was the track that went down very well on the CD compilation I made in the car.
Right.
Neil Diamond with Mr. Bojangles. Lock the Task Bar.
There we go, that's The Clash with Lock the Task Bar. This is...
that's not actually called that.
Yeah. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming to you live from the Camden Crawl. So if you can hear some unusual hubbub going on, it's because we're broadcasting from a bar.
A Hugh bar. What? No, a hubbub. Hubbub. And yes, it's a bar. Sorry, I've gone off in a strange
No, that was good.
Direction.
And this is Camden, right? So people are drinking already.
Are they?
It's 10:38 or so in the morning, and there's already heavy drinking going on, which should not be encouraged.
Who's drinking?
I'm just guessing, actually. I can't see, but I'm assuming because it's Camden, that's what people are doing.
People are still having orange juice and stuff.
Do you think?
Yeah. The sun's come out, or at least the sun did come out. At least it stopped raining. I got soaked on my way in this morning. Absolutely soaked!
It's not my fault.
Well, I should have been warned.
Listen, let's do some Text the Nations.
Yes.
Let's have a jingle.
Text the nation. What if I don't want to? So much hubbub. It doesn't matter. Text. It's only just audible through the hubbub. Exactly. Text the nation. So much hubbub.
I get this syndrome that I've been informed is called cocktail party syndrome.
Right.
And if there is another conversation going on in the background, my brain just tries to tune into it.
Yeah.
It's like if you're at a party and you're talking to someone, but you can't help trying to tune into the conversation happening next to you.
Well, the worst one is when people start talking across a table. Do you know what I mean? And you're trying to conduct a conversation and you're talking to the whole table.
Yeah.
And then someone from across the table starts a rival conversation to someone else sitting. And you're like, excuse me? Because you can't focus on the two conversations at once.
Yeah.
It's impossible!
We're also joined here by 20 members of the Elite Black Squadron. Can you still hear us clearly, Elite Squadron?
How you doing?
They're doing hand-wavy gestures because they can't actually hear us properly. Whose idea was it to have this show come from an active bar? James Sterling, our producer. It's a very good idea. It provides colour and atmos.
How you doing, Black Squadron? Stephen?
There
you go. They're still alive.
There we go. So listen, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about non-serious injuries you've suffered that have caused you in agonising pain, but can be talked about with levity because they haven't resulted in any permanent injury or hospitalisation.
Yeah.
You ready for some of these then?
Hit me.
Here's one from Elaine in Sheffield. She says, last June I accidentally dropped a glass dish on my big toe. As I was standing on a tiled floor, it was basically crushed between the dish and the tile below. Easily the most painful thing that's ever happened to me. I had to get the nail drilled to let the trapped blood out.
Shut your mouth. That's unbelievable. I mean, they should have done that in Body of Lies. That's the kind of thing that
That would make a good sequence in a film.
Yeah.
People love that kind of sort of instant improvised surgery in films.
Leonardo.
People love it.
Right. Leonardo DiCaprio in a cave under heavy duress. They drop a glass plate on his foot. I mean, that's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
I drilled the toe. I got a blood blister the other day. I just remembered this. I slammed my finger I caught it in the door. I didn't slam the whole finger in the door. I just caught the end of it. And I got a massive blood blister. And it all went numb. It was like a little eco-dome on the end of my thumb. It was amazing. It was like having the Millennium Dome there. And just full of blood. And it went totally numb because the pressure was such that the whole thumb went numb, more or less. So I was kind of digging it in a way. I was playing with it and tapping it and stuff because it was all taut like a drum full of blood.
This is revolting.
But then at a certain point, I knew that I would have to drain it, right, to release the pressure. Release the pressure! So finally, I pricked it with a pin and it literally spurted out like a gush of blood. And thereafter it was...
Is anyone enjoying this story?
Of course they are. thereafter it was agonisingly painful. Once the blister had been evacuated, it was really painful. And it was, I had to put germaline on there to stop it going septic. And
yeah.
This is what Text the Nation's about. Why are you looking at me in that way?
Because of the hubbub. I can't believe how loud the hubbub's getting. Okay, here's another one. By the time this show ends, we're just going to be shouting.
Don't worry
to be
about
heard.
It. Let's
okay,
have another
here
text.
We go. Adam and Joe. I had my fingernail nearly ripped off when I shut it in my campervan door when going to a party. It went all colours, and I had to cut it with a Stanley blade to get the swelling down a few days later.
Cut it with a Stanley blade? That's insane. What, like a big rusty Stanley nut? No, I guess they used a nice... you heat it in a flame or something beforehand, surely.
I don't know. They don't say anything about heating it in a flame.
That's horrible.
It's quite painful, isn't it?
Nails are the worst, though, aren't they? Like the tips of your fingers, because you've got all your nerve endings in there.
Something as simple as a splinter under there can be agonising.
I mean, that is absolute torture. What's the other part of your body that you really wouldn't want to hurt?
Nuts.
The nuts and the winkle, yeah.
Will in Eastbourne says, let us take a moment to appreciate getting a shard of potato crisp lodged deep under the gums.
What?
A shard of crisp? Does anybody relate to that? Under the gums, yeah.
Black Squadron nodding.
Black Squadron nodding. That's been approved by Black Squadron. Here's another one from Paul in Belfast. He says, when I was in primary school, I was play fighting with a friend. What I didn't realise was he was holding a pencil. He accidentally stabbed the centre of my hand. The pencil lead snapped off and is still to this day lodged in my hand.
I've got the same thing.
Slowly, let me finish, please. Can I finish?
But
it's still lodged in my hand, slowly making its way down my hand towards my vital organs. Now, that's like a sort of nerdy intellectual version of being 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Instead of bullets lodged in the body, pencil tips. I mean, that would impress the homies on a certain block, on Sesame Street, maybe.
Right. Instead of showing off their bullet wounds, they just...
Yeah.
And over there, I was stabbed by an HB pencil.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Is exactly. That what you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
We're going to play some music. We'll come back to Text the Nation a bit later on, so please keep your messages coming in. This is the Maccabees, and this is not a live track that we're playing, right? But after this track, we are going to play you another package... A Camden package. And in the package, I think you will be finding out how we got on when we went clothes shopping. Joe got a T-shirt.
Yeah, we'd kind of identified the fact that we were poorly dressed, so we tried to fix that problem by going to a clothes shop and getting some kit.
I got it. I mean, I ended up spending about 50 quid yesterday.
Don't give it away.
Because it was, you know, I bought the guy shades and then I went and bought another item from this shop that we'll be telling you about shortly. But first, here's the Maccabees with Love You Better. Join us back in the main drag here in Camden Town.
Hello. How are you? Good, thank you.
Joe's just chatting to some of the locals. We are stood in Dolly's, which is a emporium which sells pretty much anything you need to be a fashionable person.
Yeah, to blend in Camden, you'd need to spend quite a lot of money here at Dolly's, wouldn't you, to get your full kit?
There's studded fingerless gloves, which everybody needs.
I've seen one up there that is just a raised finger.
Oh, on a belt buckle.
On a belt buckle. Do you see there towards the top right?
I certainly do. That's a statement of intent, isn't it?
It's giving people the finger 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
From the groin.
From the groin is expressing something inside me that I think, you know, could be usefully expressed on a belt buckle. And there's a very good range of hats here, Adam, as well. As you know, like, trilby hats are very fashionable. Do you work here, sir?
Yeah, okay.
Hello, we're Adam and Joe from BBC Six Music.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Asad.
Asad, nice to meet you.
We're just trying to figure out what the kids are wearing in Camden at the moment, because it's a very trendy place, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
What do you think? Which hat should I go for? I mean, there's a straight bowler there. No one's wearing bowlers, are they?
Okay, you're being recommended one by the shop staff now. He's going for the top hat.
What's your name, sir?
Hussein.
Hussein?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. You have immediately picked out for me a top hat. Why was that? Why did you think I'm a top hat kind of guy?
I thought you Englishman, you should like a top hat, because top hat is English.
That's good.
It's made in England too.
How much is this one, sir?
It's because, you know, these one comes expensive, it's made in England.
Ah, this is where we start haggling, right?
It's not made in China.
Cut to the chase, what's the price?
£45.
45 quid? All right, yeah. I'll give you £30 cash.
£30. I'm not allowed to sell £30. What I'll do, which is my best price, and yeah, I'll get you discount, is because you know the tourists. Actually, right, we charge tourist people £5 extra.
Flipping heck, Tucker, you heard it.
It's because
first,
you know the tourists.
Yeah.
We will get you £5 discount. You can have it £40.
40 quid. How about
that
this?
That was Adam. I got to say, that was really bad haggling.
Was it?
I mean, you went down by 25%. You should have cut it right down. You should have gone in on £15.
You reckon?
Yeah.
How about this? 15 quid.
That's it's too late now, because you can't backtrack now.
40 quid? I just bought someone a pair of shades for 7 quid, the robot shades. Am I going to invest £40 for a hat I'm never going to wear again after I introduce
but
Madden?
You know, actually, this is high quality. It's top hat too, yeah? So you can use for the fancy dress party.
What about, could you recommend a T-shirt for me? Because I don't feel very trendy here in Camden. Can you pick out a nice T-shirt that might make me a bit trendier?
Yeah, sure. That's a Bob Marley. That's too funny, and it's not you style, and I can tell.
With Bart Simpson dressed as Bob Marley.
Yeah, and downloading
there
is a bit, you know, funny joke, street joke.
But the key for me is I want to be really trendy. I want to be fashionable.
Fashionable.
He wants girls to look at him and think, he's not 40.
That's exactly what I want.
All I need is you, that one.
That's got a dirty. That's got a dirty word on it. We can't swear on this.
That's
program.
Got the F bomb on it.
Oh, sorry then. The Killers.
So it's you think it's the band The Killers from a distance, but when you get up close, who's on it?
It's Bin Laden.
It's Bin Laden. Osama Bin Laden.
It's George Bush,
Saddam Hussein.
Bin Laden, and Saddam Hussein.
And Hitler.
They're all the killers.
Yeah, they're more the killers.
You know, the one I like best is Bart Marley.
Bart Marley is good.
I think that's got.
To you the first time. I thought you might not like it.
If I buy that top hat, then I have to wear the top hat, and Joe has to wear the Bart Marley t-shirt to introduce Madness. What about that, Joe?
Yeah, okay then.
Are you up for
all right,
it?
Then.
All right, we're going to buy
it. If that's what the kids are wearing, is it?
Yeah.
There we go. I've got to do it in that case.
Hey, thank you so much for your help.
No, thank you.
Yes. They're live at the Camden Crawl as they were last night. That was Zero. You can log on to bbc.co.uk/6music to see some pictures from that gig if you'd like. Do you want to, Joe?
Yes, please.
Okay, you can do that shortly.
And we're coming live today from the Camden Crawl, hence the unusual Atmos. And we're having a great time here in a kind of a bar area.
We have 20 members of Black Squadron here with us, live human beings.
Hello, Black Squadron. There you go. You see, they're very chirpy and alert, and they're having an amazing time, aren't you? I mean, I can just tell that you're having a brilliant time.
This is about as the most fun they've ever had in their lives.
Yeah.
And these are young people who've had exciting lives and they've done amazing things, but nothing quite so extraordinary as this. It's like, can you imagine what it would have been like to be in the studio for Swap Shop with Noel Edmonds and John Craven and Keith Chegwin?
Very like this.
It would have been like this.
Well, there we go. That's evocative stuff. So listen, we're going to do some more Text the Nations. Our theme today is all about non-serious injury. And we've discovered an extraordinary non-serious injury here in the bar amongst our invited guests.
Before we discover what that injury is, shall we have the jingle? But shall we have Black Squadron sing along to the jingle?
That's an interesting idea. I didn't say it's a good idea. It's an interesting idea.
Are you in a position to do that, Squadron? Okay, fire off the jingle. Will they be able to hear it? Okay, fire it off.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Oh. Black Squadron, get out! That was a disgrace.
Well, there's something a tiny bit humiliating about it, isn't there? I mean, when you're on your own in your house, you imagine this kind of world. But when you actually see the world for real,
yeah,
it's not quite what you thought it could be.
People singing along.
No, that was magnificent. I think that was sung in exactly the right sort of level of dejection and kind of hopelessness.
A few seconds out of time.
Yeah. But as I said, the subject of this week's Text the Nation is non-serious injuries. And Adam was just talking about, oh no, one of our listeners texted in about a piece of lead pencil that's still lodged in his hand.
I've got the same injury.
You can Adam, see what have you got there? You've got a piece of pencil lodged in your hand.
Yeah, like right in the middle. It might even... Do you know what? Now that I think about it... Actually, this may not be true. But it was around the time that I was at school with Guy Ritchie.
Oh, no.
He was a contemporary...
The famous film director
famous
done
film
it to
director.
You.
He was
He'd
a
give
contemporary
you a name then.
Yeah.
Lead mitt. Or something.
Lead hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that, lead hands. But I'm not sure if he actually inflicted the injury on me or if it was like a scrap and someone else actually stuck the pencil in. But you can still see a little grey circle there where the pencil went right into my hand.
But this is another fascinating area. People who are, to me anyway, people who are carrying around things lodged in their, peculiar things lodged in their bodies, right? Everyone loves that. They always have pictures in the sun, don't they, of people with big nails in their heads. And that sells millions.
It's like Iron Man, isn't it?
Exactly. But so what's the gentleman's name here?
It's Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Thanks for coming this morning. Now, Matthew, you've got a foreign object lodged in your body. Is that not correct? Sounds slightly filthy, but it's no bad thing.
I've got the same thing, a lead pencil, but stuck in my eyebrow.
And it was a coloured pencil,
yeah, it was
right?
A coloured blue pencil, and you can see the blue lead.
Come over here, Matthew, if you would. I want Joe to see this.
I know, I did have a good look at it, and it's extraordinary. It's just between the top of the nose and the eyebrow. You can actually see the tip of a little bit of blue crayon.
Because this is where I wear glasses, though, so no.
Right.
Yeah.
Essentially, what's happened is that you've had a little kind of makeshift tattoo job, because that's all tattooing is, right? And they're basically just stick little bits of dye and colour in people's bodies.
To a degree, yeah.
What do you mean to a degree? Well, that's exactly what it is.
Because the implement with which they're applying the dye is removed. And that's what's different here. It's still in there.
No,
he's
it's
got
not
it in his face.
It didn't break off, though, did it?
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah. the actual lead in.
It's the lead in there, Adam Buxton.
Flipping heck.
I don't know why my mum never thought of taking it out. Because it's taking speed to hospital.
She thought it looked good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you get more respect amongst crayonists that yes, you hang out yes. with? Yeah, they reckon you're kind of a tough guy.
Yeah, high up in the yeah, crayon yeah. land.
That's really good. That's a pretty good non-serious injury. You're going to carry that around for the rest of your life, do you think?
Hopefully,
yeah, yeah. Fingers crossed.
It's probably why
it might work its way out at some point, but right. hasn't yet.
Here's a very good one that came in via text. This is from Betty in Highbury, who says, I was once trying to crumble a bit of effervescent vitamin C, like one of those tablets, and a shard flew into my eye.
What?
The more my eyes ran, the more it fizzed. It was terrible. It felt like a Catherine wheel firework going off in my eyeball. Imagine that. Effervescent pill in your eye.
That I mean, why have they not done that on Jackass?
Man, this could be. We could be putting together material for Jackass 3, couldn't we?
I would love
we
to
could
see.
Turn ourselves. There's a British version of Jackass, isn't there? That, those Welsh guys. What
Dirty
are they
Sanchez.
Called? Exactly. We could. Is it too late to jump on that bandwagon?
No, never
it's
too late.
It's a very old bandwagon.
To jump on a bandwagon. Come on. I mean, we
5 years too late.
We could easily... With stuff like putting a fizzy tablet in your eye, that is a bandwagon worth jumping back on.
Well, now it sounds like we're encouraging people to do that.
Obviously, we're not encouraging you to do
shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't do it. It's a very, very stupid thing to do.
No, exactly.
But also wicked. But also absolutely wicked.
No, not wicked at all. You could cause blindness and all types of things could happen.
Yeah. Should we have a record?
What, are you upset about the thought of that?
Oh, it's my free play, yeah, I am. Oh, I think that's enough. Those are two very, very strong submissions,
aren't
they? Very
much so. Thank you very much, Matthew.
This is my free play. This is Richie Spice. He's a reggae sort of a gentleman.
Yeah.
And this is his song talking about how the Ute, dem gone cold.
Why? What's wrong with them?
Well, I think they're cold-hearted.
I thought you didn't approve of that view of youth.
I've changed my mind.
Have you?
This is Richie Spice.
The voice of the big British castle. It is the top of the hour. Ooh, that's wonderful. I got so bored with the last hour. I'm glad it's gone. Now here's the new one. It's exciting and it's new. How do you do?
MGMT there with kids. This is Adam and Joe coming live from the Camden Crawl for BBC Six Music. It's a great pleasure to be here.
We're in a bar. We should keep reminding people we're in a bar if you're confused by the unusual background noises.
We're in the Market Bar.
And we've got 20 Black Squadron listeners here, elite listeners, who entered a competition for which they had to log onto the website like at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday, and then the first 10 people whose names were picked, they were able to come and bring a friend. So this really is the creme de la creme.
Absolutely. People said that it was actually quite hard to find the link on the website. Yeah. Do you find that, squadron members? We really put people through it. So you are the best of the best, the elite, the geniuses at finding links.
I'd say the most laid-back member is your name Nick there? I mean, you're looking pretty cool.
He's reclining.
Considering where you are and what's going on around you.
He's our special ops guy, Nick.
Is he?
Yeah. We send him into all kinds of tough situations. How are you doing there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make the best of it, to be honest with you. It's going well. I'm enjoying it.
That is the voice of a undercover black ops genius.
Yeah, he's not giving anything away.
No. Now listen, chaps, we're going to talk about Stephen and Stevenage, just to fill you in if you have never listened to this show before. Stephen is a thing that started out about 6 months ago when we were talking about Juvenilia, and someone sent us in a comic, someone called Steve Curran, and he had made a comic about the action adventures of himself, and it was just called Stephen! And we thought it was a funny idea that he would, you know, in this comic just run around, and what would happen in the comic, I don't know, he'd just run around and shout, Stephen! Just coming! And that would be about as exciting.
Yeah, people who needed his assistance would shout his name, but then another listener suggested this could become a meme, I believe is the correct word.
Right.
A way that listeners could communicate to each other in public spaces. And this has kind of, despite us, taken off a little and resulted in a lot of gigs around the country being interrupted by shouts of Stephen. Now, people who listen to the show like this and find a kind of fidelity in it, but other people hate it.
Well, some people find it a little irritating and invasive.
Mm, yeah.
But then Stephen, you know, went to a different level this week. I'll tell you why. Here's a message from and Alex Herity. This was pointed out to us by many people. Sharon, Nathan, Kate and Redding, Chris Chambers. Anyway, It says, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now, and I really enjoy it. The Stephen Just Coming thingamabob I find quite amusing, but I'd never experienced it in my own day-to-day life until today. I just got into the car with my friend, and Radio 1's Edith Bowman came blurting out, and she was having a lunch date-type feature with Simon Pegg. I just caught the end of a phone call from a listener to the show who said, blah, 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 thanks. Can I just say something to the nation? And let's play the clip now, why not?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah?
Thank you so much, mate. It's lovely talking to you.
All right, can I just say one thing to the nation?
Sure.
Stephen! Thanks.
Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah, I was a bit scared there for a second.
What?
We're live.
Who's Stephen?
What was he going to say? Stephen.
Why did he say Stephen?
I have no idea, Simon.
So there you go. That is an Adam and Joe listener phoning Radio 1.
Unfortunately, the Stephen was slightly covered up by Edith Bowman there. She was legitimately worried that he was just about to swear, I think.
But Bowman had no idea what was going on. Neither did Simon.
Well, the point is made by Alex Herity here in his message. He says, point one, why is Bowman, one of the members of the Big British Castle, not listening to the Adam and Joe show? Or at the very least, up to date on BBC matters and slogans. Right? That's a good point. I mean, you know, we all know Edith Bowman's catchphrases, right?
Yeah.
More eggs, please, Cameron Diaz. Have a jelly bun. It's the nation's number one. And sort your wig out, Uncle Dick. That kind of thing.
Yeah? Everyone knows those.
We know all Bowman's catchphrases, so why doesn't she know about Stephen? Point two. What was the guy doing, right? He's got... Alex Herity's got a problem with the actual Stephener. He says the Stephen concept, I thought, was just for gigs or events with large groups of fans that would be bonded together by it. But no, that's absolutely fine. He's applied it to the Radio 1.
Yeah, I think we can only give that guy credit who phoned in there and did the Stephen.
He concludes, Alex Herity, all I hope is that the good name of Stephen can ride through this troubled period in its life and come out the other side. Mm. I would say that it's doing well if it's being shouted out on Radio 1.
Well, we've made Natasha Khan from Back for Lashes annoyed, haven't we?
A little bit, yeah.
We've kind of intruded on the world of the Fleet Foxes, who now get it wherever they go in the world. And we've also made a bit of a mess on Radio 1. So we'd like to ask Elite Squadron, who are here with us in Camden today, whether they would vote to kill the Stephen meme, whether they think it should be crushed before it gets out of hand and too annoying, or whether they think it should carry on and be encouraged. Are we going to take a show of hands?
Well, here's a message from someone very much putting the case against continuing with Stevenage. This is Charlie Tittle from London. He says, he calls us Adamano Bucksters and Josephus Cornlife.
Good work.
So, you know...
Cornlife?
Yeah. You have to take that into account when listening to his comments, I think. He says, I think the problem with Stephen is that it's becoming a little, inverted commas, garlic bread. You know? Do you know what he means by that?
No, I don't. What does he mean by
that? He says, it's the kind of thing lads in pubs would shout for about 18 months after Peter Kay found his fame. I don't know what he's talking about there. But he says, I'm not saying that it's annoying, but maybe it's time to put Stephen to bed. Like in the Jerry Halliwell video where she has a funeral for her stage persona, Ginger. Remember that video? Yeah, it was rubbish, wasn't it? You get my drift. And it doesn't mean that one day there won't be a new and all exciting, a new and exciting call and response type catchphrase for the Adam and Joe show on Six Music, but maybe Stephen is sadly coming to its end, says Charlie Tittle.
Well... So, what do you think, then? We should put it to the vote here.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would hope that Black Squadron here would vote to continue Stevenage, wouldn't you? I think it's fun. How is it... I think it's easily avoided in your life. It's not so all-intrusive that it's ruining people's lives, don't you think?
Well, I think we should find out. Have you been giving this some thought, Elite Squadron? They're nodding wisely. They've been thinking... OK, I think when I point at you, you've got to shout either the word kill... Yeah? You've all shouted that before in the past. Or the word Stephen, all right? Here we go. This is a big moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Go.
Stephen!
There you see? Nobody, not a single person shouted kill.
No.
There we go. It will not die, despite our best efforts.
But we'd like to hear your opinion. So you can email us, adamandjoe@... Well, it's behind me there. There it is. adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, or you can text us 64046. If you're communicating with us during the week, then please don't text, just email us. But we'd love to hear your thoughts about whether we should continue with Stephen or whether we should kill Stephen off.
Yeah, here's some music. This is The Killers with The World We Live In.
I wasn't really listening to the lyrics there. What was he saying about the world we live in?
I'll tell you later. Okay. That was The Killers with The World We Live In. And before they were known as The Killers,
That band called themselves the Genius Sex Poets.
Yeah, it's a better name, isn't it?
Yeah, that was a good switch.
Definitely. This is Adam and Joe here at the Camden Crawl. And, we've only got about 40 minutes left of the show.
It's gone whizzling by, hasn't it?
It's absolutely whizzled past. We've still got some jokes coming your way in the second, in the last half hour of the programme.
Right.
Some made-up jokes.
Yep.
Why are you looking at me like that?
It was just fun. It's fun to look at your face.
I'm wearing
makes me smile.
Look, I've got a Steven T-shirt.
During that record, we gave all the Elite Squadron members who've come to Camden to watch the show this morning an exclusive Adam and Joe BBC Six Music Steven T-shirt. There have been 50 of these T-shirts made. We've got rid of 20 of them today, and they look magnificent. They're a lovely, simple font, a white font on black. And it really is making Elite Squadron look very uniform.
So Stephen on the front and Just Coming on the back.
I mean, I'm getting a sort of surge of empowerment just seeing all our listeners here dressed in uniform, you know?
But for, you know, the thing is that for the detractors, you may as well be wearing a T-shirt that just says loser or nerd on the front. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I think it's a heroic T-shirt. I'm just balanced. It's the BBC, isn't it? I've got to say the opposite.
You just fly around with the prevailing wind.
Exactly. I've got no opinions.
You were the one that thought we should kill off Stephen.
Yeah, well, I got voted down. I obey Elite Squadron.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a free play for you now, listeners. And this is a track from Pavement's album, Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. But it's got a swear in it, right?
Uh-oh.
It's got the F word in it. So what I've done is I've inserted a little pirate radio interruption for you.
Good.
This is the kind of thing that you might hear if you listen to analog radio and you're driving along through the wave bands and suddenly a little pirate radio interrupts your listening. That's what's going to happen in this track by Pavement. I could
really give up. Fiona, you are looking good. Is that a new skirt? That is a really nice skirt.
Pavement with Range Life. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, coming to you live from a bar in Camden Town as part of the Camden Crawl, which is going on for the rest of today. Get down, it's a lovely day. People are thronging through the streets of Camden. It's a decent day.
It's a decent day.
Yeah, it's not raining. It's not absolutely pouring, which is good. Now, just before we go into the news, Joe, I was watching TV a couple of weeks back at Easter, and I was struck by a bit of continuity announcing, because they're getting quite uppity, aren't they, the continuity people, sometimes.
Yes, they tell jokes.
They've got
they do funny voices.
Way
they make
too much personality.
Yeah, they make sarcastic comments about
right.
They try and be our pals.
Exactly. I don't want them to be my pals.
Don't you?
No, I want to keep them
you just like a sort
length.
Of yeah, sort of a detached authoritarian
yes.
voice guiding you through the schedules.
Next is Newsnight.
That kind of thing. I don't want any opinions.
Well, that
about
would be
it.
A good cost-cutting measure, because television is going through terrible financial troubles.
Right.
No one advertises on it anymore.
Uh-huh.
So that they could cut some costs by having the continuity announcer
Stephen Hawking voice,
a robot voice, yeah.
Fred, I believe it's called, yeah.
Mm.
Well, the continuity announcer, to try and jazz up the fact that the okay, let's see if you can guess what film he was introducing.
Mm.
And now it's time for our big Easter movie, and legend has it, it's a corker.
Legend?
No,
no,
he was introducing
hang
Arthur.
On, is it some what?
Arthur, not the film with Dudley Cuddly Dudley, but Arthur, starring Keira Knightley and Clive Owen.
King Arthur.
King Arthur.
Yeah.
Right.
Legend has it, it's a stinker.
Well, exactly.
Wouldn't that be the correct announcement?
I mean, how disingenuous is that? Legend has it, it's a corker.
Right.
That's outrageous. I mean, you may as well introduce Van Helsing by saying, prepare to have your blood sucked out by one of the greatest films of all time. You know?
Which would be a heinous lie.
Total lie. Like, how about this? How would you introduce My Best Friend's Wedding, which is on tonight at 9 on Channel 4?
Oh, prepare to be lowered into the pit of hell. Very slowly,
no,
by the most boring man and woman in the world.
That would be the honest introduction.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you've got to do a special lying continuity
really?
Introduction. Prepare to be lowered into a pit of fun and frolics for all the family with a potentially Oscar-winning performance by Rupert Everett.
Yeah, it's the lowered and the pit that are still in there that still make it sound quite bad.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's 11:30 here on BBC Six Music, and it's time for the news. David Bowie there with Heroes. You know what? One of the squadron members earlier on, we were trying to think of commands for Black Squadron at the beginning of the show, and someone came up with the command, talk like David Bowie for 30 minutes.
That would be quite a difficult thing to do.
For 30 whole minutes, well, I think it would be quite easy.
Yes, it would be very easy.
That's extremely easy to talk like that. Yes. Could you pass the coffee?
Certainly I could pass the coffee-cicity.
Oh, love. This coffee is absolutely superlative.
Its theatricality is extraordinarily.
Did Brian Eno help you put this coffee together?
Yes, he did, using some abstract cards.
His oblique strategy cards?
Yes.
And where's that? Hey, Mom.
That's one of those impressions that's sort of broken free from its source. You know, it's just free floating.
Point. Yeah, yeah.
It's got very little to do with how Bowie actually speaks now.
No longer, like your Jules Holland impression.
What are you saying? That was brilliant.
It was
on the nail.
I don't think it sounded like, if Jules Holland heard that impression that you did of him last week, I don't think he would go, you know what? He's absolutely captured me.
Who was that?
That was Jules Holland. That's how he really speaks.
I didn't recognise him.
Yeah. Should we have the Text the Nation jingle?
Yes.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about non-serious injuries that you've inflicted on yourself or other people, I suppose. Stuff that hasn't resulted in any hospitalisation or permanent damage, but that is cool to talk about.
And don't forget, if you're listening to this show on Listen Again, then you can still contribute to this Text the Nation by sending us your non-serious injuries throughout the week. You can email them on adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk and they might be read out in next week's podcast.
Who can tell? But here's a good one from Jen in Cardiff. She says, "Dear Adam and Joe, I got a loft ladder in the face on Christmas Day."
Ouch.
Now, there are accidents waiting to happen because they nestle on the inside of the flap. If you've got one nestle on the inside of your flap?
Everyone does. Every real man does.
Yeah. And so you open the loft and it can come tumbling down.
Because they fold up in a kind of triangle, don't they?
What sort of thing is that to happen on Christmas?
That's a horrible thing to happen
on
Christmas
Day. Is there a God? That can happen on Christmas?
I mean, that's a very big debate. And, you know, the Catholics have been talking about that particular
loft ladders are the work of Satan anyway, so it's got no religion threatening implications. Whew. Here's another one from Andy in Glasgow. It says, "Dear Adam and Joe, a couple of years ago, whilst eating my lunch and dealing with my emails, I suffered a rather unusual eye injury." This is horrible. "The sandwich I was eating, purchased from a well-known high street baker's, was packaged in a shallow card tray, which, during a lapse of concentration, slipped as I was about to take a bite of the sandwich." You following this?
Yeah.
"And it went into my eye, causing an extremely sore paper cut." So he got a paper cut.
On the eyeball.
On his eyeball.
Oh.
That's Andy
in Glasgow.
That is
the second most painful ball to get a paper cut on. That's terrible. How did he do that, though?
Somebody stubbed a cigarette out in my eye when I was 15.
Shut
at a nightclub.
Your
yeah.
face.
He was chatting to a girl. And I was sitting next to him, and he just accidentally shoved it in my eye.
What?
And I had a cigarette burn on my eye, but I went to sleep, and it miraculously recovered. The human eye is an extraordinarily resilient piece of tissue. Even so, you should not go putting things in it or anywhere near it, right?
Don't put fizzy lozenges or cigarettes or anything
fizzy
like
lozenges.
That.
Fizzy lozenges.
Fizzy lozenges.
Hey, Mark,
could you pass the fizzy lozenges? Could you pass the fizzy lozenges? Oh, look at the lozenge. Oh, it's in my eye. Well, Bowie got a lollipop in his eye, didn't he?
He did. Bowie's had eye trauma.
That's right.
Wow.
So it's all linking in.
It stayed dangling out of the eye, didn't it, for some time?
There's a lolly in my eye. Oh, no. That's the song he wrote about it. Well, he didn't get very far with it.
Anyway, keep those coming in. Will we return to these? We might do a couple more just before the end of the show. The text number is 64046.
Really?
Cutting it very fine. We might run out of time, so maybe don't bother. Here's some music, and after this music, we're going to have another little visit to one of our pre-recorded packages, what we did in Camden yesterday.
Yes, I think we went and polled a few people about what they thought of our sartorial choices. You'll hear that after this next track.
Yeah, this is The Fall, is it?
Yeah. Hey, Luciani, they're playing tonight at the Camden Court. We've come a little way up the street now. Joe's wearing his Bart Marley T-shirt.
Things have changed for me.
And I'm wearing my top hat. I'm feeling a lot better, I have to say.
I felt pretty good until a girl laughed at me.
Are you sure she wasn't just chuckling at the Bart Marley show?
No, I think she thought it was, like, disgusting and tasteless. And rather than that being fashionable, I thought the reaction might be, "Oh, that's disgusting and horrible. You're cool."
You're cool.
It wasn't. It was, "That's disgusting and horrible. You're disgusting and horrible."
No.
I don't know. I'm just
being
paranoid.
How could anyone find
a picture of Bart Simpson smoking a big fat jazz cigarette with a big load of dreadlocks on his head and the words Bart Marley. How can anyone find that in any way?
The man in the shop said it would help me blend in. Well, we're sandwiched between the Sainsbury's local and the Roundhouse, two of the most important places in Camden. And of course, the Roundhouse is the hub of the Camden Crawl, where the biggest bands are playing.
Who's playing here tonight?
You don't know. Ben
mouthed that to you, didn't he?
I knew that. I knew they were playing. I just wasn't sure where. But yeah, all the biggest bands are playing here. And as a result, there's a huge queue of attractive hipsters waiting to get in.
Individuals, some of whom look a little bit like Jack Pignatti. There's some kind of DJ slouchy chaps with very large headphones on. Some very beautiful women wearing leggings and indecently short skirts. It's really happening here.
I wonder how some of the people in this queue would judge our new outfits, you know?
What's your name, sir?
Thorsten.
We just bought some stuff from Camden Market down there to blend in a little bit more, because we're a bit old. So how do you think it's gone? Joe bought this T-shirt.
Yeah. The man in the shop said it would make me fashionable.
Can be, yes.
Yes. I'm not sure.
Thorsten's impressed by that. What about my hat? I just bought this.
Oh, it looks better. It looks better than the T-shirt.
How much would you pay for a hat like that?
£10.
thank you for talking to us.
What's your name?
My name's Lulu.
Hi, Lulu.
You look ridiculous in that hat. What? I'm sorry.
We bought these things to make us blend in Camden, right? Yeah. And the man in the shop said that top hat was all the rage, and that this T-shirt.
Okay.
Was really cool as well.
Many top hats going on here. I think you should go to something more like this. Some really cool boots. Instead of like these walker boots as well.
Yeah, but you're wearing hexagonal mirror things around your
I've
neck.
I've got a mirror around my neck.
How is
it's
that
like a
better
universe
than a top hat?
Just exploded onto my chest. How cool is that?
Look, every man is wearing a checked shirt. Look, there's three of them. There's three of them. All in a row, three check shirts. Is that individuality?
No.
Or is that conformitality?
Why did everyone start wearing check shirts?
Strictly, that's not check. Do you not think the Bart Simpson T-shirt is a more individual statement than the checky shirt?
No, I'm really bored of Bart Simpson and the Simpsons.
Yeah, but that in itself is cool, isn't it? I mean, when everyone else is bored, I'm still interested. So it means I don't follow the herd.
Well, that's a sartorial update from the queue outside the Roundhouse. Thank you very much.
You've lost your place in the queue.
I don't care. I've only just arrived.
You can get back in there with my checkmates. Checkmates. Doesn't matter. Take care.
Thanks for talking to us, Lulu. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Was she just shouting, Willie?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, she loves Willies.
Yeah, that was a song about Willies by Gold Heart Assembly. They were playing live at the Camden Crawl last night as part of Steve Lamacq's shindig at the Dublin Castle, which by all accounts was an absolute smash. So thank you very much. They were sounding great there, Gold Heart Assembly. Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's almost time to say goodbye to you listeners, but we're going to just wrap things up in the Textonation house.
Yeah, we should remind people we're live from the Camden Crawl, hence the peculiar acoustics and the hubbub.
Yeah.
But we've been doing a Text the Nation all about non-serious injuries.
Now, I wouldn't exactly call this an injury. I would call this an injury. The other day, I got a little fly in my eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many oftentimes have you had fly in your
oftentimes
eye?
Oftentimes, fly in eye. A big full-size fly, a big fat fly.
No, not like a blue bottle or a house fly.
But not like a tiny little insect thing.
It was a sort of a midgy thing. And the thing is, I could see him approaching me, right?
Yes. 3D.
And I thought, he's not coming for my eye, is he? Nyee, wham! Straight into the eyeball. Landed on the eyeball. And I immediately, you know, tried to rub it out. But I was worried that by rubbing it, I would cause it to get deeper into the folds of my eyeball and the flesh, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm.
Right? And sure enough, the fly drifted around the eyeball.
Was it sort of spread-eagled on your field of vision like one of those Garfields that you put on your car window, staring at you hugely?
I couldn't see it because it was it was not over my actual iris, you know.
Mm.
So it wasn't being dealt with. It was out of my field of vision.
Mm.
But I was very anxious that it would remain there forever because I couldn't get this thing out at all. And I wept. I thought of some sad things to make me weep. Also, my eye was naturally watering because of the irritation the fly was causing. Mm. But, you know, can they just stay in there? It stayed in there for about a day. It felt like it was in there. Yeah?
Did it? You know, that's good, that's good. In there for a day. Well, they decompose, and their natural vitamins inside them actually enhance your eyesight.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah, I recovered from that.
Because I used to think that's what, you know, floaters, right? When you see, sometimes you see what seems like little hairs in front of your field of vision drifting around when you move your eyeball.
Right.
They're called floaters.
Right.
And I used to think they were flies' eggs. Not eggs, but legs. Right?
Flies' legs.
Flies' legs that have got in there.
Really?
Why don't you read out a couple of texts there? You're no use whatsoever
I'm just amazed. I've got this picture of the surface of your eyeball now with severed legs,
yeah,
spread-eagled insects, all kinds of stuff going
having
on in
there. Having a little Camden crawl on my eyeball.
Here is one from Jen in Muswell Hill who says, oh no, I can't read that one out. I've started reading the wrong one out. Now Jen's going to get disappointed because Jen's just sent in a horrific injury.
Right. It's too horrific.
Yeah, it's too horrific. It involves a split lateral wrist ligament.
Oh no, that's serious. You have to go to hospital.
You don't want to hear about that, do you? No, the elite squadron are shaking their heads. This is from Rob in Shrewsbury. On the theme of finger pain, my mother once burned the end of her finger in perhaps the most idiotic way possible. Whilst driving an unfamiliar car, she mistook the cigarette lighter for the fog light and pressed it. When it became clear what had happened, she examined the cigarette lighter, decided that she had to deactivate it before it could be returned to the dashboard, and inexplicably elected to put her finger into the lighter. The smell of burning finger skin stays with me to this day.
That is horrible.
Mum, that's very sweet. Poor mum, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't understand cigarettes,
yeah,
doesn't know what this thing is, sticks her finger in it. Oh, poor old mum.
That's terrible. Have you got one more to wrap it up there?
No.
Oh, we're going to play out with Lupe Fiasco with Superstar. That's in a second.
Good
but
choice.
We'd just like to say a very sincere thank you to all the people that have emailed us and texted today. But most especially, we'd like to say thank you to all the members of Black Squadron that have come to join us live here in Camden this morning. Thank you very much, Black Squadron.
Well done, Black Squadron. Thank you for coming.
Yay.
And you realise you now have an extraordinary mantle of responsibility. You are envoys. You are the elite squadron. So you command your local and regional ranks of Black Squadron. So when tasks are issued, you have to make sure they're obeyed. Yeah. And you know you have the legal right to go into anyone's house in the country. Did you know that? Well, there you go.
You will get thrown out and arrested.
Yeah, you'll be arrested.
But legally, you can go in.
Yeah. But thank you very much, all of you, for coming this morning. We're very pleased and,
And thanks
happy.
To everyone for listening. Pleased and happy. and also, I hope you have a good time if you're going to the Camden Crawl today. It should be a fun time.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who's put this OB together as well. Lots of hardworking BBC people plugged all the wires in.
Yes, we appreciate it very much. Don't forget to download the podcast on Monday evening. Stay tuned for Liz Kershaw and have a great weekend.
See you next week.
Take care. Bye.